Before I start the podcast, I want to send out my condolences to the Oscar Tavares family and the family of his girlfriend. After the tragic accident on Sunday in the Dominican Republic, he and his girlfriend passed away. Didn't know him as a person, only knew him through the game of baseball, but he made a game of baseball better, and I really love the guy's game. So, condolences to the family, and prayers and wishes to his girlfriend as well. Welcome to the Last Show Podcast. It is October 28th, and it's also Tuesday. The opening of the NBA season is tonight. Yeah. This is the NBA season preview, brought to you by me, Courtney Shane Williams. You're here to hear about pop culture or what's happening to people outside of sports. This ain't the podcast for you. We're talking nothing but NBA on this episode of the Last Show Podcast. And it's called the Last Show because this may be it.
Make you want to sing a song about it. Knocked up 9 months ago, go. What she gon' have, she don't know, no. She want the old soul, cause hip hop is old. She don't want no rock and roll. She want platinum or icy gold, go. With a whole lot of something to fold. If you were obstacles, you cold, drop me cold. Cause one monkey don't stop the show. Little bear is bad, in these streets she done ran. Ever since when the heat began, I told a girl, look here, fall back, let me hold your hand. I'll enable you to beat the plan.
Welcome to learn, and we can make money to burn. If you allow me to lead this game, I don't ask for money. Only the room is streaming. Subscribe definitely on iTunes if you haven't already subscribed. You can get all the episodes. You're listening to them at your leisure. Put them on your iPod. Put them on someone else's iPod. That's even better. Someone that you don't know. Just download like 15 episodes and just have them right there. And then, you know, they'll get pissed off. Like when they added that new YouTube album into your cloud and all the people start listening to all these YouTube songs that stunk. Do that. Thanks for listening to the show. Regardless, the NBA season starts tonight. I can feel it. I feel the excitement in my bones, the excitement in my face. It's been like one of the most, I wouldn't say the most anticipated season. You know, that's a little too presumptuous. And it's not true. The most anticipated season had to be 2011, maybe 2012, the year before LeBron left Cleveland to go to Miami. Probably the most anticipated season because no one knew what was going to happen. And then the next season was the second most anticipated season because he left. Traitor! Oh, no, not a traitor anymore. But anyways, the NBA season preview. Where should we start? Free agency was a lot of players switching teams and moving over. The free agency was probably wilder than it's ever been. It was so much turmoil, so many people leaving. Obviously, the biggest move of the offseason was, you know, LeBron going back to Cleveland. However, you also had, you know, sneaky moves like Chandler Parsons going from the Houston Rockets, then going to Dallas. What kind of effect is that? And then you have a guy like Trevor Ariza who leaves the Wizards, then goes to Houston. Paul Pierce leaves New Jersey, goes to Washington. I mean, that's crazy, too. Gordon Hayward, he's a max player in the NBA. Who would have thought? And then Eric Bledsoe wanting to leave the Suns, and the Suns end up paying him his money, and he stays with the Suns. You had a lot of move. Oh, yeah, you also had the big move of the Lakers acquiring Carlos Boozer and Jeremy Lin. Woof. The Lakers are bad. This just in. They stink. I did think the report of they coming out that people didn't want to play with Kobe was 100% accurate. Anybody that would deny the idea that people don't want to play with Kobe Bryant, you're just not paying attention. You're just not paying attention. And you're taking it personal on top of that. I don't understand people that take it personal when people say people don't want to play with Kobe Bryant. You're not Kobe Bryant. And he's not splitting any of the money with you. So what do you care? It's obvious that people don't want to play with Kobe Bryant because the Lakers had max money and they signed nobody. So for all those, they don't have the guts to play with. No. They got the guts. They just are smart enough to not play with Kobe. It makes sense. And granted, though, it's not the idea that people don't want to play with him at all. It's the factors. Number one, people necessarily didn't care for his personality and the way he went about treating his teammates and doing his business. All you need to do is Google Smush Parker, Kobe Bryant, if you think I'm lying. And when you start deteriorating in skills, people don't want to put up with that. I mean, you're like the old dude that no one liked in the first place, but you just happen to be really good at your job. I mean, Kobe Bryant is Terrell Owens of the NBA. That's what he is. When he was good and effective, people put up with it, but now you don't have to put up with it. You just don't go there. And I mean, that's obvious. Guys at the tail end of their career usually can still get guys to come along with them and play. And, think about a guy like Akeem Olajuwon. Akeem Olajuwon later in his career, Charles Barkley went to the Houston Rockets with Akeem Olajuwon. He played with them. And Akeem Olajuwon was washed up. He was washed up. He was done. You know, but usually guys at the end of the career can still surround themselves with a pretty, especially a guy with the talent of Kobe Bryant, you know. So people don't want to play with Kobe, and it makes sense. I do think it's crazy that the Lakers had max money and everybody turned it down, you know. And by everybody, I mean, you know, Carmelo Anthony and LeBron James, Chris Bosh. Kevin Love essentially turned down the money. The Lakers, they're done. And while we're talking about teams that are done, I want to start the show by talking about the most depressing teams. the most depressing team in the Eastern Conference this year is the Orlando Magic. The hell are they doing, man? Honestly, the hell are the Orlando Magic doing? They got a bunch of young players at duplicate positions. And it'd be great if it was like fantasy basketball. I mean, because they'd be that team that you'd be like, oh, maybe they can make some moves or whatever. But they draft Alfred Payton, but the year before they draft Victor Oladipo, and then they draft Aaron Gordon, but they just signed what was that guy's name? But they have all these duplicate players at duplicate positions, and they're going nowhere. They're spinning their wheels. And someone told me, though, the Orlando Magic, they're 2 years away. No, dude, they're like two decades away, okay? And for all those people out there that say, oh, well, you know, they should ban the number one pick because the Cavaliers got the number one pick 2 years. Hey, check this out, dude. The Orlando Magics have gotten the number one pick twice. Twice. They got Shaq, they got Dwight Howard, and they have nothing to show for it. Well, two finals appearances, which essentially is better than the Cavs. But it hasn't cured all on their franchise either. And Orlando should be a destination place. They're the most depressing team in the Eastern Conference. The most depressing team in the Western Conference, the Utah Jazz. The hell are they doing? They're awful on the level that those players that have a lot of potential that they drafted two, three years ago when they had the Deron Williams trade, which seemed like a really good trade. They traded Deron Williams. They got this first-round pick. They ended up turning it into they had Derek Favors, and then they added in Enes Kanter. And I guess – I don't know if Trey Burke was part of that trade too, but they added in some pieces, those pieces. And that trade might be one of the rare lose-lose trades. Like, neither one of those teams really profited a bunch. I mean, I guess you would say New Jersey, but New Jersey, they never went to a conference finals, you know, with Deron Williams. He's been oft injured. And when he's not injured, he's just an above-average point guard in the NBA at this point in his career. Still a really good player, but never nearly as good as he was in Utah. So that's a lose-lose. The other thing about Utah is since then, they fired like two coaches, and they haven't gotten any better. You got Trey Burke, who was overrated, or not even overrated. He was in a bad draft year. So instead of going 10 spots lower, he ended up going 10 spots higher. So expectations are put on him that just don't make sense, and he ain't with it. So now you got a guy that you drafted in the first round that's basically coming off the bench. You got Derek Favors, who it still feels like he's not quite there, but you want him to be there. It seems like he should be there because of the hype. Then you got Enes Kanter, who was actually going to play at Kentucky, and then he had problems, and then he couldn't play, and he entered a draft, but there was this, oh, this Enos Kanter, this dude can play, and he's just, so Utah, where is Utah going? You know, they're not, you know, all these guys, you know, like Orlando, essentially, that got rid of these superstars, even though they really didn't have any alternative. But these guys that got rid of superstars like Dwight Howard, like Deron Williams, it feels like they should be in a better place than they are now, and they're just not there. And if you're the fan base there, I mean, you got to be depressed. I mean, that's essentially it. So those two are definitely the most depressing teams. And I mean, they're tough to watch. However, neither one of them are worse than the most depressing team in the NBA, which is the Philadelphia 76ers. Unlike Orlando and Utah, Philadelphia does have a clear plan. Let's be as bad as possible. That is the plan. They virtually traded every asset they had, all the way down to Thaddeus Young and Spencer Hawes. They didn't even re-sign Earl Clark. They have no interest in being good. Their idea is we'll get in the draft, we'll end up hitting on some picks. That's the way we'll rebuild our franchise. But if you're a fan of those teams, I mean, that's nice, but it's depressing. I would say you have to see the product, but you really don't have to see the product. I wouldn't show up. I'll show up when you get good. When you get good, I'll show up, and you can call me, he's a bandwagon jumper. That's fine. But I'm not going to let the bandwagon run me over putting out that product. That, my friend, is a developmental team masquerading as a professional basketball team. So 76ers, the most depressing teams in the NBA. I think the teams that are going to step up this year, I want to talk about those. There's two teams in the Eastern Conference that I expect to be step up, even though they both made the playoffs last year, strangely enough. But I think they're going to go from the first team is Toronto Raptors. Now, Toronto Raptors last year, I believe they made the 3 seed. I think they made the 3 seed or the 2 seed last year. But out of every team in the East, I looked at it, and now in Toronto, they didn't add any major pieces, but they didn't need to add any major pieces. I think the fact that they ended up keeping Kyle Lowry, they exercised the options, I know, on Valanciunas. You still got, I was about to call him LaQuentin Ross, but you still got Ross. You still got DeMar DeRozan, Terrence Ross, and DeMar DeRozan. That's a solid professional basketball rotation. And now those guys are going to get a second year, because that was their first year. They're going to get a second year to play, you know, with each other. Now you get more familiar, more chemistry. That team's going to take a big step up. And I think they have a great chance of making it to the conference finals. I don't expect them to go to the NBA finals, but they have a great chance. I haven't even thought about that. I think over the course of the podcast, I probably have who I think will go to the conference finals, but they have a good chance to go to the conference finals. They're a contender. My second big step-up team in the East also made the playoffs last year, but they made the playoffs as the 8 seed. They made the playoffs as the 7 seed. That's the Charlotte Bobcats. The Charlotte Bobcats, I think, have a chance to be the second best team in the East. And it sounds crazy because you're like, oh, Charlotte stinks. And they're not even the Bobcats. They're the Charlotte Hornets. They turn them back the clock. And oddly enough, a good duplicate for what Alonzo Mourning was in Charlotte is Al Jefferson. I love the team. I think Charlotte, the one thing they were missing is a guy that could go out, get his shot, a guy that you could really depend on. They pick up Lance Stevenson. Lance Stevenson does everything that they needed somebody to do, especially in those crunch time minutes. I think Lance Stevenson is going to highly elevate their team. He'll also take pressure off Kemba Walker. And Kemba Walker, who's maybe a slightly above average point guard in the NBA, but not really a point guard, more of a scoring guard. I think Lance is just going to help the team out in general. And they also have that New York connection. So I really, 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 really like that Charlotte Hornets team. And I expect them to be one of the top two teams in the East. And I also expect Lance Stephenson to be an all-star this year. That's another factor you look at with the Charlotte Bobcats Hornets. That's another factor with the Charlotte Hornets is if you want to be a perennial playoff contender and a team that it's a conference finals team, you need to have at least two all-stars on your team. Last year they didn't, and they got the seventh seed. This year they got Lance, who I believe is going to be an all-star, and you got Al Jefferson, who's an all-star as well. Now, if you could teach Michael Kidd-Gilchrist to shoot a jump shot straight, then, I mean, you're right there. You're right there. I love the Charlotte Hornets this year. Big, big ups to those teams. And in the Western Conference, the team that I like to step up is the Dallas Mavericks. I mean, I guess it's kind of a – they made the playoffs as well last year, but the West is so competitive. But they got better. They got much better. They got better with Chandler Parsons. They bring back Tyson Chandler. Now you have a team that is good at basically every position on the floor. The point guard could be a problem. I mean, I believe they have Jameer Nelson now, who's he's an NBA level point guard. I mean, he's not awful. He's a guy that can run your team, and he's definitely a guy that's not going to impede everyone else's progress. But he may be coming off the bench though, because I guess you got Monta Ellis too. So I guess the starting lineup would be, you know, Monta Ellis, Dirk. No, I guess you would go Dirk, Tyson, and I'll call them by one name because I know these guys. You got Dirk, Tyson, you got Parsons, and you got Monta, and I guess you throw in, I guess Raymond Felton, the gun toter at point guard. I guess you throw him in, and I like that team. I like that team in the Western Conference, too. Step up to the next level and do something special. I would like to pick Phoenix in this spot because I feel like some team has to bully their way in there. But I just don't think Phoenix got any better. And if Phoenix didn't get any better, but the bottom teams that made like the 7-8 seeds got better, who's going to drop out for them to come in? So I don't really see anything other than that. I mean, the West is just more of the same. I mean, it's reshuffling the chairs on the Titanic. I mean, that's really basically what it is. It's more and more of the same. Is Houston not going to make the playoffs because they missed Chandler Parsons? Nah, Trevor Ariza does everything Chandler Parsons did. And maybe more because dude plays defense and he definitely can help you stay out of the middle of the lane and you can work Dwight a little bit more. You should be able to play a little bit more of a Terrence. Terrence Jones should be able to play a little more of him. So I don't see it. I don't see Houston dropping out. Is Memphis going to drop out? If Marc Gasol is healthy, you know, he's the biggest factor in the West. I mean, he's the best center in the league. You know, then you have Zach Randolph. I mean, you're still going to be able to play defense. You got Michael Conley, who's a decent point guard. I don't see how any of those teams drop out. Is the injury to Kevin Durant going to plague them so much to where they drop out? Nah, I don't think so. Russell Westbrook is still a top five player in the league. And that's right, top five. That's what I said. Player in the league. So I don't see them dropping out. So while I love Phoenix, I don't see anything different. However, there are some teams that I believe are going to regress. And maybe this team is a team that will drop out. The Portland Trail Blazers. Like them. They shoot a bunch of threes. They have a fast pace, but I definitely think they overachieved last year. They got off to a hot start. And teams like Dallas that have gotten better are going to take their spot. So I expect them to be still a playoff team, but maybe a 6 or 7 seed instead of what they were last year. The other team that's going to regress is the Indiana Pacers. Hey, man, sad to see you go, but the injury to Paul George just changes the fortunes of that team this year and years to come. Not only do I expect them not to make the playoffs, I expect them to trade some players, mainly David West. He's probably gone, and maybe Roy Hibbert as well. This is a time for the Pacers to, you know, essentially not start over, but retool their team around what they're going to be going forward in the future. The other team that I just put an asterisk next to their name, so I don't know why I put an asterisk next to their name, but that means I guess I want to talk about the Sacramento Kings. The Sacramento Kings have a lot of good players. I mean, not even a lot of – I mean, they got 2 all-star level players in Rudy Gay and Boogie and DeMarcus Cousins. 2 all-star caliber players. But then they drafted Nick Stauskas. I like Sacramento's players, but damn it, they just – I don't see it blending together quite right. They're not going to be as bad as they were last year. They'll be a little bit better. They'll probably be top, maybe 10th best in the West, which is good, but not great. However, hey, they can make a big trade. Maybe they do. Maybe they get Rondo. Maybe they get David West. That'd be awesome. If Sacramento got David West, oh my God, it could be the best thing that could happen for DeMarcus Cousins. I mean, that'd be great for DeMarcus Cousins. I mean, David West could really, really help him out. He's a veteran. He could teach him how to play. Also, David West, he kind of has a crazy, streaky temper as well. So it could be like a loser leaves town match, worst case scenario, where both of them can't live in the same space. SummerSlam. Boogie! Versus David West. You know, could be a good combination for them, but I definitely see them as a team that's going to make a move. And maybe they will challenge for the playoffs this year, but because I really like their pieces, they're just not where you want them to be to make a big step up, but love the individual parts of the Sacramento Kings. Now, so the teams this year, the teams that I believe we're going to make the playoffs is basically what I said. Everybody from last year, except the Pacers are going to drop out of the playoffs. I also think that Portland has an off chance of dropping out of the playoffs. If those two teams do drop out, the Pacers will drop out, and the team that will replace them is the New York Knicks. I also think something else is sneaky. Is it possible that the Miami Heat could not make the playoffs? I think this first two months, so from now until New Year's, is key for Miami. If Miami isn't one of the top 5 seeds in the NBA or the top 5 teams in the East by New Year's, they're not making the playoffs, because this is the healthiest Dwayne Wade is going to be. Dwayne Wade needs to be extremely, extremely healthy for them to be a balanced team and make the playoffs. You can't depend on Luol Deng to do what Dwayne Wade does. Also, if Dwayne Wade sits down, then that means, what are you going to pay Mario Chalmers at the 2? I guess they got that one dude. Was it Mike James? Some James? I don't know what the hell his name is. But the one guy on the team that can help up, step up. Also, you're going to be playing more Udonis Haslem now. So they're in a weird spot. Chris Anderson and all these guys need people around them that can score. You need Dwayne Wade to be healthy. So if this first 2 month, 2 months doesn't go well when you have the healthiest of the healthiest of Dwayne Wade's, they're not going to make the playoffs. And if they don't make the playoffs, then the two teams that I think have a shot to replace him is, oddly enough, the Milwaukee Bucks. Love the Milwaukee Bucks. Love the Milwaukee Bucks. Larry Sanders, hopefully he got his situation under control. They still got Ilyasova, and I believe, I don't think you go from being this guy to completely dropping off the cliff, unless you're Lamar Odom and you're dating a Kardashian. That makes sense. But other than that, I think it comes together. I think Jabari Parker, they also got him, OJ Mayo. Hopefully he's motivated. They got the pieces in Milwaukee to really do something this year. I don't think they should be taking a back seat to any of those teams. I don't think they should look up at the Knicks and think, oh, Milwaukee can't. Oh, no, Milwaukee can definitely be better than the Knicks. Even though I didn't think the Knicks will make the playoffs, but Milwaukee should definitely, you know, not take a backseat to the Knicks. The other team is the Detroit Pistons. Detroit, they got a better coach now. That'll help. They have somebody that has a vision beyond this year. That'll help. He won't be scared to bench Josh Smith, bring him off the bench. He won't be, you know, scared to tell, hey, Andre Drummond, you need to take more buckets. I like Detroit. I like Detroit to really contend for the playoffs. So when I look at the schedule, now I'm looking at the Eastern Conference. Brooklyn Nets, they're going to probably fall a little bit. Chicago's going to be much improved. Cleveland, obviously, we'll get to them in a minute, much improved. Atlanta should be improved. Charlotte, much improved. Washington, still improved. Offhand, looks like the bottom four seeds in the Eastern Conference will be the Knicks, Miami, Brooklyn maybe, and Atlanta. And the top four seeds will be the Wizards, Charlotte, Cleveland, Chicago. Wizards, Charlotte, Cleveland. Oh, the Raptors. The Raptors also. So that's four. So that means, yeah, then that means then the Knicks, then yeah, it's going to be like between Miami, the Knicks, New Jersey, Milwaukee, Detroit, fighting for two spots. That's the Eastern Conference. The Western Conference, I don't see anybody dropping out of the playoffs. If anybody does, it'll be Portland. And, you know, I already said if they drop out, then, you know, maybe Phoenix can get in, but probably not. I don't see the West changing whatsoever. My picks now, I can look. My picks to go to the conference finals. I'm not interested in who's going to win the second round. In the Eastern Conference, the Cleveland Cavaliers. They're the you can book it. They're the easiest. That's the easiest pick to go to the conference finals in the Eastern Conference. The second best team in the East, I think, will go to the conference finals. Whew. I should do it. If I do it, I'll look like a genius. I should do it. I'm going to do it. I'm going to go Chicago. As much as I don't want to say Chicago, because I just think they can be had in the playoffs, especially when the game slows down and you can really match up against them. A team that I definitely think could challenge them for that conference is the Charlotte Hornets. I like them a lot. Joakim Noah is so active on the glass, though. He'd be hard to contain. I'm not sure if Charlotte's going to be able to score enough because Michael Kidd-Gilchrist can't really shoot. Kemba Walker really needs the ball to be effective. And Lance is going to need the ball as well. So they may need one more team to gel. But the Toronto Raptors really, really can make a push this year and get to the conference finals. I think they can defend in the paint. And they can definitely outscore the Chicago Bulls. So I really look for them to be that team that can give them problems. You know what? Matter of fact, there it is. I'm gonna pick the Toronto Raptors going to the Eastern Conference Finals. Cleveland against Toronto, Eastern Conference Finals. In the Western Conference, dude, more of the same. I expect the San Antonio Spurs. It's funny. This is the first time I mentioned the NBA champions and been recording for 30 minutes. San Antonio, they haven't gotten a lot better, but they didn't need to. They won the NBA Finals last year. Sure, Duncan and Ginobili and all these guys are getting older, but they don't play a lot of minutes in the regular season. So if they can get to the playoffs healthy, you got a Tony Parker running around and you got Kawhi Leonard running around. I don't see any reason why they couldn't get right back to who's going to beat them. Who's going to beat them? I mean, maybe Oklahoma City could take them out if the matchup came that way. Maybe the L.A. Clippers could take them out if the matchup came that way. But are you picking the L.A. Clippers over San Antonio? Because I'm not. Are you picking OKC over San Antonio, not knowing how Kevin Durant's going to come back from an injury? I'm not. So I got San Antonio. San Antonio in the conference finals. And because of the reason with Kevin Durant, my second team in the conference finals is the Los Angeles Clippers. I think the Clippers, because I don't know about the injury. If Kevin Durant is 100% healthy, I got OKC San Antonio. But I'm not sure how he comes back. I mean, the foot on a 7-foot dude. But he's not a big guy. But still, if that bone has to heal up right, who knows how many places they'll drop. So the safest pick and the pick I believe will end up having is the L.A. Clippers. I think they'll step up. NBA Finals, the Cleveland Cavaliers against the San Antonio Spurs. This is a repeat of the repeat of the repeat of the repeat. this will be the 1, 2, 3. This will be the fourth time LeBron James has played the San Antonio Spurs in the finals. It'll be twice in Miami, twice in Cleveland. He won one in Miami. He lost one in Miami, and he got swept in 07. Was that 07? Yeah, I think 07 got swept by the then San Antonio Spurs. I pick the Cleveland Cavaliers to win the NBA Finals. And now is a perfect time to talk about my team at the back end of the podcast. Just put an asterisk next to everything I say because I am soaked in bias. My Cleveland Cavaliers greatly improved their team this offseason. Obviously, they added LeBron James, which was huge. They added Kevin Love, which is huge. But those moves also facilitated some other things. Number one, it facilitated Jared Jack being the hell up out of there. They didn't need Jared Jack and Deion Waiters. That's too much. It just didn't make sense. It also facilitated Kyrie Irving being the primary ball handler. Before you had this idea that, you know, oh, well, it's Deion. Oh, well, it's this. Oh, well, it's that. But it's clear now with David Black coming in. Now Kyrie is going to be a prime. I expect Kyrie to actually be the guy that runs the team. And people say, oh, well, no, no, no. They got to run the team through LeBron. But I don't know. I don't think so. I think they can completely. I think it's gonna be his team to run. But LeBron changes everything. LeBron changes everything for the Cavaliers. Tristan Thompson is gonna be great. They got a lot of guys. They have a lot of guys that can now just play their roles. You know, like a Tristan Thompson, like an Anderson Varejao. Prior to LeBron coming back and Kevin Love being there, these are guys who were dependent on to score. Like people, you know, thought, oh, these are going to be the guys that are going to, you know, lead the team in scoring. I mean, you're dependent on Varejao. It's not a good spot to be. Now everybody gets to go to their regular positions. You get to have Varejao just rebound. Varejao, Tristan Thompson, y'all just rebound. Kevin Love, you add a, give us some offense. You rebound the basketball. LeBron, you do LeBron things. Kyrie, hey, man, shoot and dribble your ass off. Just everything you want to do. And Deion, please, don't shoot too much or we'll put you back on the bench. So I expect the Cavs to be the NBA champions this year, which is completely soaked in bias. However, it is what I think. Can't wait for the games tonight. And, man, going to be a great season, guys. I know that was a lot of basketball. And for you guys that didn't like it, I'm going to try to get up another podcast this week talking about the regular stuff I talk about, which is nothing, which is a lot different from talking about what I'm talking about now, which is also nothing mixed in with a little bit of something. You can always subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. You can also find the podcast on ComedicPros.com and on my website. Thank you for listening to the show. And this, until next time, holla.
But thanks for your time. Then you can thank me for mine. And after that said, forget it.
Aha! Aha! What do you know from funny, you bastard?